We're here to make a dent in the universe, or else why are we even doing this?
If I don't think I cut out with the fun stuff, because that to me is the fun stuff.
Build that audience, because if you've got no one to sell it to, then it's just going to flop and die, and no one likes a floppy, right?
I'm yet to meet a woman who just kind of grew up confidently in her body.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm Nicole Bremner. Join my weekly conversations with really interesting people as I delve into the stories and experiences that make them uniquely them. Hello and welcome back. Welcome to our very first property podcast of 2024. We are going to look back at the top 10 forecasts of 2023 and then compare them to the forecasts of 2024. So really excited to have a look at that with Edot. So thank you very much, Edot, for joining me today, and happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year to you too.
So first of all, let's have a look at what we're all here for, which is the house price growth. Now, we had an interesting end to 2023. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, so what we did have is, as you know, my property consultant collects data from various different institutions that release the data. We display it on one page or a dashboard. So again, people can email me or go to our website, mypropertyconsultant.london, send me a note. I'll add you to the listing. And what we do, we actually compare data from Nationwide, Halifax, Rightmove, official data, which is the ONS data, which is actually sold prices, and we display them on the one sheet. And the latest information that we have is, as of last year, the annual data showed in 2023, Nationwide was saying that prices had fallen minus 2%. Halifax had decreased by minus 0.6%. Rightmove had decreased by 1.1%. And ONS only showed a decrease of minus 1.2%. But if we go back to exactly this time last year, forecasters range between house prices coming down between 10%. Some are saying prices would fall by 15% over the 12-month period. And that simply hasn't happened. And this is why forecasters have to be very careful, because it does have, it carries through into market sentiment. You get the headlines on the BBC, Sky News, and also newspapers that will push out this negative headlines. And it kind of gets everyone into this frenzy where everyone starts panicking. Should we buy? Should we not buy? And the evidence is there that when we look at the current data, prices pretty much, they fell slightly, and that will not buy all that much. When we look at monthly data, so again, the figures I just quoted were the year-on-year figures. When you look at the monthly figures, January for Nationwide showed a decrease of 0.3%. Halifax showed an increase of 0.5%. And that's the second consecutive increase month on month. Rightmove showed a decrease of minus 1.9%. And ONS only showed a decrease of minus 0.7%. So none of these figures are disastrous, which we were led to believe. If anything, prices pretty much were stable throughout 2023. And for those people that want to buy a property as an investment or somewhere to live, if you take a long-term approach, you should be fine. But the actual stats show that not much really happened last year, despite all the doom and gloom that was out there.
Yeah, so if we look at, they were down a touch. If you look at Nationwide, for example, they're down, depending on nationally, they're minus 4.7. So that's still down. Rightmove minus on a national at 1.1, down 1.2. So they were down.
Yes.
Not as much as people thought they were going to be.
No, it's exactly that. And then most people, when they buy a property, they will be using mortgage finance. So if they did put down a 25% deposit, 25% will be on the actual loan. So minus 1.1% on the house price is negligible in terms of, you know, the repayments that person would make. The advice I'd give is, if you're going to move home or buy a property, just carry on and go and do it. What was quite interesting, last month we had one of our viewers was actually asking, did we have statistics on a more regional basis? And I did some digging around, and I've got the 12-month figures, which makes an interesting read, where figures I quoted were the national figures. But when we looked at Scotland over the last 12 months, prices actually increased by 0.2%. The England overall was minus 1.4%. Wales was -3%. Northern Ireland actually increased by 2.1%. Then in terms of the actual regions in England, the Northeast prices actually increased by 0.2%. Yorkshire and Humber were -1.2%. The Northwest was only -0.4%. East Midlands, -1.7%. The East of England was 2.3%. Southeast was -2%. So again, they can be split by different regions. Obviously, there'd be a big skew towards London and the Southeast, because that's where the majority of houses are. But different areas of the UK had a similar experience through the headline figures. Again, you can dissect it by type of property as well, which would be houses versus apartments. And are they semi-detached, 1 and 2 bedroom properties versus 4 or 5 bedroom properties, and also different price ranges. So there's a lot of data out there should you want to get it. And obviously, we're just kind of highlighting the headline figures.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's really interesting to dig into. And thanks for doing that. And I hope that answers your question to the viewer who asked that question. So what we're looking now at interest rates. Now, there's been some really interesting headlines over the last few weeks, because we're actually finding that the interest rates offered by banks are now lower than the Bank of England rates. So what's happening there?
Yeah, so the Bank of England are committed to bringing inflation down under control. And the good news is inflation, when you look at the September figures, inflation was 6.7%. It started decreasing quite rapidly. October's figure was 4.6%. And December's figure, the inflation rate was 3.9%. So inflation is falling quite sharply. The Bank of England have decided to leave rates on hold, the Bank of England rate at 5.25%. 3 out of the committee wanted to increase rates once again, but again, it doesn't look like that would be necessary. But what is happening is the actual lenders, so HSBC, Santander, for example, when they actually price in 2-year fixed rate mortgages and 5-year fixed rates, they've got to take a view in terms of where will rates be in that 2-year and 5-year period. And this is what they call the swap rates. And the swap rates have been coming in. And for example, if you looked at June figures, the best 2-year fixed rate on a residential basis was 5.49%. The best 5-year fixed rate was 4.99%. The good news is, and this is real positive news for 2024, is the best 2-year fixed rate for house purchases is 3.84%. The best 5-year fix is 3.74%. And those are both by the co-op. So rates are actually below 4%. HSBC have rates below 4%. The small print will be some of these where you'll have to have a 40% deposit. Some of them will be remortgages only. Some of the large loan sizes. But this morning's headline, I picked up a headline that 22 lenders have actually reduced their rates, some of them by up to 1% since the beginning of the year. And bearing in mind, this is probably the first full week back into the office. If 22 lenders have slashed rates, that is signs of a price war where these banks are trying to fight for market share. But they believe that rates will be a lot lower than 5.25% in that 2 and 5 year period. So that should be welcome news. And that also affects buy-to-let landlords. As you know, my property consultant, we actually help people become landlords. The best 2-year fix at the moment is 3.85%. That's by the State Bank of India. The 5-year fix rate is 4.39%. And that's HSBC. So that's the mainstream lender. And the best buy-to-let tracker is 5.19% by a small bank called Mansfield. So there's rates out there. So I always recommend use a reputable mortgage intermediary who will get you the best rates. But again, we need to make more of a song and dance about it's not as bad as the media would state.
No, it's not. That really surprises me, the 3 and 5 year rates that are being offered. It shows that the expectation of the city is that rates will come down. And I think that that's been the case for a while. So we're still in this fairly historically low interest rate environment, just not in the memory of anyone much younger than us, Edo.
No, exactly. Well, the quick question for me is, where will rates end up? And, we have been in a low rate environment for the last 10 years, rates, around the 1.5%. But we believe that the long-term rates, by the end of the year, they'll be around the 4% mark. And I think for the next 3 to 5 years, they will hover around the 4% mark. So they might come down to 3.75%. And I think that will be the new norm. And that's reflected in the kind of 2-year and 5-year rates that lenders actually offering. And, you know, because they obviously, they don't want to lose money. They do, they are aware there is a market out there where basically people do need mortgages.
Before we look at going on to the rental market, I just wanted to talk about sentiment going forward. And perhaps it's a little bit early to do this, given that we're going to talk about forecasts. But it seems that these interest rates, these more palatable interest rates, will help with property prices and help stabilize property prices. Or at least when we talk about property prices, what we actually mean is sentiment. People feeling confident enough to buy and sell properties. So it seems like these interest rates will support that sentiment. The other thing that's really interesting that you highlighted is the supply coming onto the market. Now, as someone who is desperate to buy my own home in Kent and unable to find anything, I find it hard to believe that there's a lot of supply out there. But in fact, Boxing Day broke records.
It did. And again, we're looking for 2 or 3 properties for our clients. People outsource the buying process to us. Rightmove saw a record number of homes actually went live on Boxing Day with over 10,000 new listings that actually went onto the market. Now, that is 17% higher than Boxing Day 12 months ago. And it's the busiest it's been since 2011. People, in my opinion, have been kind of sitting on the fence for the last 12 months. Should we sell or not sell? Should we buy? If there is some stability in the market in terms of interest rates, people will get on and sell and buy houses. I think with interest rates starting to decrease, starting to stabilize, it means that affordability, yes, it is more expensive to take out a mortgage now than it was 12 months ago, but people can actually factor that in. It is still difficult, don't get me wrong, but if people know that they can afford a rate of 3.75% or 3.99% for the next 5 years, if you can make those figures work for you, you can go ahead and buy property. And I think people which are thinking of selling are now deciding, yes, let's put the house on the market and sell the property and be committed with this. And we normally see people that are thinking of selling houses would have done so in the last quarter of 2023. So we will see new properties coming onto the market over the next, hopefully the next month or so as we enter the spring period.
Yeah, well, if we look at the latest data that you've got in your My Property Consultant spreadsheet here, the transactions for UK residential are down, say, 17 or 20% year on year to October, isn't it? So it'll be interesting to see how this record-breaking Boxing Day feeds into these numbers over the coming months.
Yeah, and we will keep a track on that. Again, conversion levels or sales, which is 17% less than the norm, I think is still a huge positive because there's so much uncertainty throughout 2023, mainly with the cost of borrowing, the cost of living crisis, everything happened to be in the negative sphere. Even inflation coming down, prices are still increasing. So although the rate of inflation is 3.9%, prices of goods and services are still increasing, albeit at a slower rate. So I think it's quite positive that house transactions were only 17% lower than in a normal year. And I think 2024, hopefully things will bounce back in terms of activity levels.
Yeah, and perhaps the abolishing of inheritance tax, for example, while it doesn't impact that many, perhaps it will get the housing market moving a bit because people will be more inclined to sell down property that is perhaps not fit for purpose anymore. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think the other red flag on the horizon for next year, which could impact property prices, is the election. What's your view on Labour potentially coming into power, given that Rishi Sunak's now announced that there will be an election probably in autumn this year?
Yeah, well, there's always swings and roundabouts in terms of having an election. The positive is, yes, there's certainty that there will be an election this year, in the second half of this year. And again, there's always winners and losers in such situations. Most people will think that the Labour government will come in, whether it be a landslide victory or not, we don't know. She may pull it out of the bag. What we will see coming from the, without getting too political, what we will see is there'll be some incentives that the Tories will put in place. So, for example, there will be tax cuts. You already mentioned inheritance tax may be tweaked, may be abolished. There'll be changes to the base rate, high rate tax limits. Maybe even the rate may be tweaked just to create some feel-good factor. So they'll have to do something quite drastic if they want to win a majority Conservative government. So there will be some feel-good factor. And you already will see that some MPs are calling for the Bank of England to start reducing interest rates. The economy at the moment is not growing, but it's not in recession as yet. And if interest rates, Bank of England rates, start to decrease, the industry will start breathing a little bit more, potentially borrowing a bit more. And again, it's trying to create this feel-good factor before a general election. So if things all go in the right direction, so if there are tax cuts, interest rates from the Bank of England start coming down, that will create some feel-good factor, which I believe that will increase the number of housing transactions as we take advantage of those market conditions. There will be the pessimists who will say, well, I'm going to sit in the fence because I don't want to buy a property if Labour are going to come in. We don't know how that will affect house prices. But history has shown, even if you look at the last 10 years, even we've had COVID, we've had Brexit, we've had the tax changes that George Osborne came in. The market is still a market. People still buy and sell houses. People still will continue. And when we look at house prices in general, in the London market, they've increased by an average of 6% every year for the last 30 years. So you'll see a lot of property investors, which, you know, they'll put their head down and just carry on. And we've had clients in the last year that have bought property. So whilst everyone is kind of running around, should we buy or not buy, sitting on the fence, a savvy investor will have been buying up the best properties, which have been sitting around on the market. So in answer to your question, I think it's going to be good for house prices. It's going to be good for the housing market. In the event that Labour do get in, the big question is, you know, how will they affect different parts of the economy? There's these kind of threats that they may put on VAT onto school fees. Okay, you could argue that only 5% of children go to private schools, but how will that affect private nurseries? It may affect students at university. So again, it depends in terms of these election pledges, will they actually follow them through? Or are they just trying to do vote winners, if you like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll see. I wish they'd do something about corporation tax because that's cripplingly high. And one way that they could stimulate the economy without increasing inflation, I think. That's just my opinion. Before we get on to the main event of today's recording, which is the forecasts, let's talk about the rental market, because it seems that finally the rate of increase, this eye-watering increase in rental prices, has started to decrease, but it's still increasing.
Correct. Yeah. So 6 months ago, rents were increasing nationally and in the London area of around between 10 and 13% year-on-year growth. And if you roll back 12 months before that, there's also a 10% increase. So for the last 2 years, prices have increased by an average of 10% and another 10%. And so when you compound that, it is very difficult for renters. The situation is made worse by the interest rates being relatively higher than normal. People cannot afford to take out their own mortgages. So first-time buyers or people, you know, looking, should we buy a property, can no longer afford to buy that property. They've been trapped in the rental market. And the number of houses and apartments in the rental market, we're led to believe, have actually been contracting as some landlords are exiting the market. Again, we still haven't got, you know, proper evidence of that, but the anecdotal evidence, hearsay, is people are leaving the market. The positive is the rate of growth is slowing down. So the latest figures, I was looking at my crib sheet. So the latest rental figures is nationally rents are still increasing 8.9%. And in London, they're increasing by 8.1%. So it is slightly improved from the 10% increase that was happening in June of last year. So the rate of growth is starting to slow, but it's still alarmingly high. We manage a portfolio of roughly 100 properties all in the London area. And as the cost of living in terms of the mortgage interest payments are going up for the landlords, there's also less rental stock available. We're having difficult conversations with tenants where rents are increasing by about 10 to 12%. just to mimic what is happening in the local market. So as a property manager, which is what we do, we look at a property comes up for new listings. We do a comparison with all the other comparable properties. So if it's a two-bedroom property, we'll have a look at all other two-bedroom properties within a 1 kilometer radius, and then we'll benchmark against those properties. And similarly for existing tenancies, when they come to the end of the 12-month tenancy, we'll be having conversations where we'll benchmark against that local area. And you can imagine this is happening on a national level, where letting agencies and landlords that self-manage are forced to put up rents, mainly because their costs have increased, but also because when you compare it to the local market, due to the less stock available, rents are still continuing to increase.
Yeah, it will be interesting to track that now and see how that continues to hopefully decline that rate of increase anyway over time. So finally, Ido, let's look at the forecast.
Okay.
2023 versus the forecast from 2024.
Okay, I'd like to caveat this, that the reality is nobody knows. Apparently, all the information that is available. And I'd just like to highlight, because again, when we did this podcast 12 months ago, it was a very different situation where Savills and Knight Frank were quoting really disastrous figures. Savills were quoting prices would fall by 10%. Knight Frank was saying prices would fall by 5%. Capital Economics was saying prices would fall 8.5%. In the scheme of things, it wouldn't be disastrous, because if you did have a 10% decrease, it'd only take you back about 18 months in terms of the house price growth that's happened over the last 18 months. What's quite interesting, the BR only predicted a 1.2% decrease over 2023. So they were the only organization which were correct. All the other forecasters got it wrong. And if I was buying a property 12 months ago, I'd be annoyed as well if I'd listened to them. So you can't believe what all forecasts say. So now for 2024, what is quite interesting, I pulled off the top 10 biggest organizations in terms of who has credibility in the market and who the national press will be quoting. Nationwide, who's the biggest lender, mortgage lender in the UK, they're saying prices will be flat for the remainder of 2024. Halifax are quoting that prices may fall -2% to -4% over this year. Rightmove are quoting a -1% decrease. Zoopla are saying -2%. JLL, -3%. Essitons are saying prices will fall by -0.3%. What's quite interesting is they're quoting an increase of 1.8% in London. Hampton saying prices will be flat. Knight Frank, -4%. Savills, -3%. Jackson Stops are saying prices will be flat as well. So if you were to an average of all of that, you know, I think most people are saying house prices will be relatively flat, maybe a slight decrease. And it'd be quite interesting, because I will be quoting this in the months as we go on, probably on a quarterly basis. But it'd be quite interesting to see at the end of 2024 who was actually right, if indeed were they correct. But it'd be quite interesting to keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And let's just have a look at some of those numbers a bit. So going back to Halifax. So first of all, actually nationwide, what are they saying? They're saying flat. Okay, so that is against an average national rate of -4.7 for the year. So that's interesting. So over the 2 years, they're saying down 4.7%. Halifax is saying down 2% to 3%, did you say?
Yeah, 2% to 4%.
2% to 4%. So again, nationally, their prices were down 0.6% year on year.
Yeah.
For the year, sorry. And that's interesting. So they're saying down. And Rightmove?
They're saying a -1% over the next 12 months.
Pretty much the same as this year, they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is interesting. I think they're sitting on the fence.
No, I think they've looked at what has happened in 2023, and they've realigned their forecasts. So, you know, Knight Frank, you know, last year saying -5% and Savills saying -10%. You can see that they've heavily adjusted their forecast. So Savills saying -10%, it's now, that was last year, they're now saying -3%. So they've done almost a complete U-turn. Knight Frank, -5% last year, they're saying -4% this year. So they're pretty much sticking to their guns, but both of them are wrong last year. So again, they'd lose credibility if they get it wrong for another year.
Yeah.
And this thing, which I find so frustrating, about the headlines will come out on the BBC, the major newsreels, you even get it on LinkedIn, you'll get these property experts quoting what these organizations are saying. And most of these forecasters are wrong. Yes, I understand why negative news sells headlines, and a lot of it is clickbait. Again, part of what we're doing in terms of collecting the information on a monthly basis is just to provide that kind of overview of, let's look at all of the data in its entirety, and based on that moment in time, you can make an informed decision of where you believe house prices are going. So what I'm saying is, yeah, look at all the information and then make an educated guess in terms of where you think we are in that cycle. And is it now the right time for you to personally purchase that property?
What makes me laugh, though, is the people where you see Halifax are up 0.5% for the year, and people are going, that's it, property prices are up. We told you the property prices would increase this year. And you think, it's 0.5% on one
measure. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, when you go into these the actual figures that they're quoting, we've spoken about this before, about Nationwide and Halifax are quoting their book of business as mortgage lenders. Right, we're actually quoting asking prices. So we don't know what the property is actually sold for. And the ONS is the only official data, because it is actual sold data from the land registry, but there's a 2 to 3 month time lag on that data, and it doesn't include new houses or new builds in that data. So all of them are collecting slightly different information, which is why you've got to look at it in its entirety.
Yeah, and if you look at the ONS, it's down 1.2% for the year. But again, that's only to October. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I should say, if anyone listening's got any forecasts that they want to throw in, please do feel free to add your forecasts, and I will read them out here now. If you've got any comments or questions, please do ask them now. But there's one question left for me to ask. What do you think is going to happen for 2024, Edel? And what did you think was going to happen for 2023?
Okay, you beat me to it, because I was going to ask you exactly the same question.
Think we've run out of time.
Okay, so this time last year, I was quite happy that I predicted that prices would remain flat for the first 6 months of the year, and then there may be a slight decrease for the second half of the year. So, again, that's because I was looking at all of the information. So slight unfair advantage. I was looking at other forecasts, and I was trying to look at the evidence that was portrayed in front of me. I'm fully aware of also there's a time lag with most of this data. A lot of the data does have a 3 month time lag. So I'm quite happy that we got it right for 2023. I wish more people had listened. And in 2024, what I think will happen is house prices will remain level for the next 12 months. When you go to different geographical areas, I do believe certain areas, for example, London, may see a slight increase as and when interest rates start to decrease by the Bank of England. Just psychologically, more people will come out and start buying property. We have a lot of international clients who are kind of watching interest rates quite closely. And as soon as interest rates do fall, they'll start buying property. And that has a perverse effect, is there won't be more properties on the market at that time. It'll just create a slight increase in prices. But our forecast is it'll be level, but there may be slight areas where prices increase slightly, but that'll be restricted to the different geographical areas. And Nicole, your forecast, so we have it on the record.
I love this. This week, I was listening to a podcast, the All In podcast, and David Sacks said he's predicted the last 10 of two recessions. So he keeps over predicting recessions. So I must say that I'm kind of in that boat as well, because I did think that house prices were going to tank last year, and I was more of the Savills Knight and Frank school, where I thought that they were going to be down 10%. What I will say is that I am noticing that there are still optimistic asking prices, but they come down quite quickly. There are a couple of properties that I've been watching. One was at 2.25 million and they've just reduced the price to 1.85 million. Huge, but it's a very particular property. The other one was 1.45 in June 2022, and it's now 1.25 and unable to sell. So I think it's interesting when you talk about house prices, because there's house price growth, but then there's optimism with asking prices versus what they transact at. And while they'll transact at a higher value to what they would have previously, they're still at significantly lower values than in the asking prices. That's my little caveat there. Maybe I'm trying to buy time as for my forecast. I agree with you, actually. I think it's going to be quite flat this year. I think that the increased sentiment around interest rates falling from what they have been over 2023 versus what they will fall to will increase sentiment. I think that some of the tax changes will mean that there'll be more supply. I also can't help but think there's going to be a bit more pain in the market. The economy still seems precarious, and I think that there's a little bit more to go, but I think that the pain of people being forced to sell may be supported by those who are desperate to buy and have cash or a good capital position. So what do you think? Am I hedging my bets?
I think you are hedging your bets, but no, I think the evidence we have is, yeah, prices, you know, should remain flat. Again, you got to, you know, if you're about to buy a property and you need somewhere to live, you can, you know, those people which are renting, you can continue renting for another 12 months. And that money you're spending on rent could go towards your property if you're in the position where you can afford the finance. And affordability is becoming slightly easier as interest rates are decreasing. And personally, I would bite the bullet and buy, I think, a 10-year cycle. And when you look back 10 years, house prices have a tendency to increase over the long term. And even if there is a market downturn, so the last downturn we had, a major downturn, was in 2008, we specialize in choosing areas which are more resilient. So for example, in London, prices did fall about 20-25% due to the banking crisis. Within 18 months, they went back to their original price. Other cities in the UK, Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds, took 8 or 9 years to recover. People always ask me, where should you invest? So I would say, choose areas which are resilient in terms of house prices. Yes, prices will go up and down as the market behaves. All markets, whether it be property, gold, sports cars, they will follow this cyclical movement. But there's certain areas which should be more resilient. But yeah, just go ahead and do it is what my bottom line would be.
Well, I'm going to get a bit personal now and share something personal. Okay. And that is that I've recently sold a property in London. And I've been renting now since 2019, and I hate it. I absolutely hate renting. After being someone that believed that it gave me the ultimate inflexibility, when I actually went to do it, I realized that the supply of rental properties in some areas that are suitable for families are non-existent, and you're having to compromise so much. So I've now sold my family home in London to move or buy something in Kent, and there's just no supply. There's nothing. And I've narrowed it down to maybe half a dozen properties that I would buy in my area. But the chances that they come up for sale are obviously very slim. If there are 6-7 properties in the whole of my sort of desired area, it's a very, very small chance that one of those comes up for sale. So I'm actually thinking of buying what I'm calling an interim house, which is a compromise, and it's not a house that I want to live in long term, but it gets me out of renting. And even if property prices were not to increase over the next 1 to 2 years that it takes for me to get my dream home or my ideal home, then at least I have a property that is my own and I'm out of that rental cycle. So, yeah, what do you think about that? Obviously, I think you'd be pro that.
No, I would concur. I think that is something you should definitely do if you didn't want to continue paying money on rent. As you know, a lot of the rent you're paying, you know, that your landlord may have a mortgage on a property, so you're servicing their debt. You might as well service your own debt if you were to get your own mortgage on your property. Again, as a buying agent, we have different experiences in terms of the types of property you go for. So 1 and 2 bedroom apartments all over the UK we have that London focus, as you know, there will be more 1 and 2 bedroom properties that are always on the market. It'll be first time buyers, it'd be couples moving into a family home, it'd be people downsizing. There's more movement in that type of market, so there's more properties available. And also the lower end of the price spectrum. Family homes, we are looking at family homes. We've got a client looking in Surrey, an executive home around the £2 million mark. The issue with those is the houses only come on the market once every 25 to 30 years. So this could be probably people who are our age, got kids that have gone through primary school, secondary school, going off to university. They realize they don't need such a big house. They'll put it on the market. But these houses only go on the market, as I was saying, once every 30 years, sometimes once every 40 years. And those are the houses, unfortunately, are the ones that you're looking for. But there'll be other affluent couples buyers looking for that type of property as well. So it is, the competition is more fierce when you're looking at family homes. And that's on the rental side, as well as when you're looking at your next move. So there's a bit of luck involved. You know, the house that you're after has got to be on the market when you're looking to buy a house.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's going to be right for you. So I think it is more tricky when you are looking at family homes. Often, there's no such thing as the perfect home. We always find a home. Yeah. If you have a search criteria of 10 elements you want on that, if you get 6 or 7 elements which tick those boxes, the 3 which are not such a priority, is we ask our client, could you live with those 3 bits? We've got your 7 out of 10 things that you asked for. And the answer is most people will compromise. And I think house buying at that level is a compromise between space, location, and the type of property.
Absolutely. It is always a compromise. And that's the frustrating thing about a property. Perhaps, I do think it seems to be more localized to the UK because you don't have expanses of land and all these new build developments. Whereas I think in Australia and perhaps in America and some other places where there are huge new build areas, there are fewer compromises to be had in those types of properties. I think the problem I've got is the stamp duty. It's the stamp duty on the interim home that I want to buy is about 2 years of rent. So got to balance it up and see what happens. But it's a good problem to have. I'm certainly not complaining.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have. And if you need a property finder, I'm more than happy to.
Thank you. There are about 6 properties. I've attacked the owners of all of them. Let me buy your home. But yes, if I needed a property buyer, then you would be my first call, Edo.
Edo,
thank you so much for today. It's been really insightful again. And where's the best place for people to find you?
Right. So the best place to get the access to the My Property Consultant Property Index Tracker, this is what it looks like. I know you can't see it, but obviously there are actual kind of grid lines and trend lines, which we track over the 12 months, arrows showing up and down. Best place to go is the website. So it's myproperty-consultant.london. And there'll be a button on there, which is a contact me page. So you can just drop me a note saying, hi, Edel, please add me to your mailing list. And we will send you that information out on a monthly basis. Normally comes out in the last week of the month, and it will have commentary and a blurb summary from me. They probably come out just before we do these podcasts as well. So if you wanted to be interactive, you could actually challenge you and I on these figures. So have a look at our website, drop me a note, and I'll add you to that list.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Edo. And thank you for listening. Any comments, suggestions, do get in touch. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please support us with a like, comment, subscribe, and share. And you can always join the conversation live across my YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages at 1 p.m. every Thursday. See you there soon.